Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Isaiah chapter 9. Please turn there, please. We will once again read that verse together. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're looking at Christmas through the eyes of Isaiah. We've looked at it from several different viewpoints. We've looked at it from several different sets of eyes, if you will. Isaiah, the prophet of God, writing some 800 years before Christ would come into this world. But yet he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Proving once again of the infallibility of God's word. It's absolutely without error. It's inerrant. There's no errors in your Bible, regardless of what the mockers and scoffers try to tell you and say that there are. But I promise you, God's word is indeed 100% correct. Amen? And we can rest in it. My granddaddy told me years ago when I was a young kid, he said, old buddy, that's what he called me. He said, if you read this book and abide by this book, speaking of the Bible, he said, you'll turn out to be a pretty good boy. And he knew a lot more than I did at the time in regards of how powerful God's word is. Am I a good boy? I don't know, but I know God's word changes people's lives and it indeed changed mine. And I'm grateful for that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Please stand once again in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll read it for reference sake, and then we will look at the book of Hebrews, several passages tonight, actually also in Hebrews. We'll look at other verses. But the Bible tells us, Isaiah writes, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Five titles of our Lord. The second one, Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Our Father, once again, we love you. We're grateful, Lord, for your word. Now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide. Bring us closer to you, God, as only you can. And, Father, we'll praise you as we leave this place. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wonderful Counselor. Tonight, we're going to look at Christ as Counselor. You know, Isaiah, and I've been thinking about this, I honestly have for a little while now, in the context of where we find the portion of Scripture that we've read tonight. You know, Christmas time, it's a wonderful holiday, and we celebrate the birth of our Lord, and for those that know Jesus as Savior, it indeed is a wonderful time. But you know, it's also, for some, it can be a very difficult time. It can be a very hard time, and I shared this with the church Wednesday night when we looked at some of these verses that we'll look at tonight, and hopefully we'll continue on with it. But even a friend of mine, I noticed a post from a friend of mine on Facebook, and he said that it was a very difficult time for him. And sometimes Christmas can be very difficult. But you know, in light of that, and the thought that comes to my mind, I'm grateful that Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, under that divine inspiration, literally God breathed out the words and Isaiah wrote them down. Under that divine inspiration, Isaiah would refer to the Christ child, the Messiah of Israel that they longed for 4,000 years had come now. And Isaiah was prophesying and he was saying that his name would be called Wonderful. But second of all, the second title he gives us, and this is where we want to run in this vein tonight, he says he will be Counselor. You know, when it comes to a counselor, somebody, if you look up a definition, if you will, of counselor, it's just simply one who gives counsel, an advisor. The second definition that we'll refer to is simply an attorney, one who represents you in a court of law, a counselor, if you will. So Isaiah tells us some things about our Lord that they would understand about Christ, what he would do, how he would operate, what his life would be like. Yes, he would be the mighty God. Yes, he'll be the Prince of Peace. But his name was Wonderful, but he's also the Counselor. somebody who gives advice, somebody that will represent you in the court of law. Of course, the court we'll refer to is indeed God's courtroom, the ultimate judge of all the earth. But Isaiah wrote this, and he tells us some things about our counselor that I want to kind of parallel. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want us to look at a few verses of Scripture tonight as we look at this counselor. Christ, the compassionate counselor, he indeed is a wonderful counselor. Amen? He is indeed somebody that gives good advice, somebody that gives great advice, somebody that gives sound advice, somebody that gives you instruction that you can build your life upon it, and you can go through this world with some understanding. You can go through this world and have wisdom as you go through this world. We need the wisdom of God, amen, living in this sin-cursed world. We need God's wisdom in our lives. So let's talk about Christ as counselor tonight. Notice, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we'll notice him as an empathetic counselor. An empathetic counselor. When you think of the word empathy, it's the opposite of sympathy. Somebody says, well, he's a very sympathetic savior. Yes, but he's more than that. He's empathetic. And I'll show you what I mean by that here in just a moment. Verse 14 of Hebrews 4, the writer writes, and he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and why we refer to him as this empathetic counselor, one of the greatest illustrations, it comes from the sports world, happened several years ago. It really kind of gives us a picture of empathy in action. The story is told of a girl by the name of Sarah Tucholsky. She was a 5'2" seldom used senior outfielder for the Western Oregon University softball team. She became well known for something that happened to her in a conference, and she became nationally known after she hits her only career home run in a key conference game against Central Washington. However, it wasn't the home run that made her famous. It wasn't the home run that made her face go all over the ESPN newscast and even received an ESPY award for her what happened to her. It was a rather unique response of empathy from two of the opposing players on the opposite team. While rounding first base, Sarah inadvertently missed the bag. When she turned to go back, her ACL gave out, leaving her writhing on the ground in pain. Unfortunately, softball rules would not allow her coaches or trainers to touch her while on the base path. Even after a home run, the only solution was to credit Tucholsky with a single, thus nullifying her home run and give her a pitch runner. Knowing the rules allowed defensive players to touch base runners, senior first baseman Mallory Holtman stepped in and shocked everyone by stating, "Excuse me, would it be okay if we carried her around and she touched each bag?" Holtman and shortstop Liz Wallace picked up Tucholsky and carried her around the bases, eventually handing her to her coaches and teammates after passing home plate. Even more incredible is that a bid to the Division II national tournament was on the line. Holtman and Wallace's response is a perfect example of sympathy or empathy in action. Their willingness to evaluate the painful situation of Tucholsky over the need to win shows they personally identified with the unfortunate situation. They actively empathized with Tucholsky. Herein lies the difference between sympathy and empathy. If Holtman and Wallace simply felt sorry for Tucholsky, that is sympathy. No doubt many people in the stands and on the field felt sympathy for her plight. However, when the girls began to feel Tucholsky's pain to the point that they responded by assisting her around the bases. They moved from sympathy to empathy. They said, "Preacher, what's the significance of that?" The writer of Hebrews, and I love that story, and I remember seeing that story, and I thought to myself, they get it. Amen? It's not win at all cost. Amen? I love to win, honestly, just as much as anybody, perhaps, but it is not win at all cost to our softball team. It's not win at the cost of our testimony. Amen? It's win and honor Jesus Christ in doing it. Now, these girls, I'm not saying they're Christians. I don't know if they are or not. But what they described for us and what they demonstrated in their life was empathy. They were able to identify with that girl. It's fair to say that here they are. They're playing for a bid to the National Division II Championships. And yet this girl, who really was somebody perhaps that may have come off the bench and didn't play a lot, hits a home run. And there she lies, writhing in pain, holding her knee. Nobody can touch her. But what they demonstrated, they stepped in and they helped her. You know, when I think about my Lord, the writer of Hebrews hits the nail on the head when he shows us how empathetic our Lord was and is in regards of as a counselor. The Bible tells us in verse 15, look at verse 15 again of Hebrews. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So again, the writer's telling us about our high priest. He's telling us about our counselor. Isaiah said that he would be counselor. His name would be called Wonderful Counselor. This empathetic counselor that we have in Jesus Christ the Lord. The writer said, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched." Now again, I said this Wednesday night, but I have to say this again. In order for us to really contemplate, in order for us to really understand the depth of these verses of Scripture, we got to imagine ourselves for a moment as a Jew and raised in Judaism. We have to imagine ourselves for a moment being steeped in that Judaistic religion and understanding the sacrifice that would be offered year after year after year after year. Your dad would take a sacrificial lamb and they would offer that, and he would all give the high priest that sacrifice. And the high priest would then take the blood of that lamb and would take and apply it to the mercy seat of God on the other side of the veil, the Holy of Holies. And growing up in a Jewish home, if you can imagine for a moment, here's what you need to understand, and here's what you would have understood. What you would have understood was this: not just anybody could go on the other side of the veil. Only the high priest could do that. Now, you weren't allowed to do it. Somebody had to go on behalf of you and your family. And to the Jewish mind, when the writer of Hebrews says, "We have a high priest," he says in verse 14, notice the text, he tells us that we now, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens." But the writer says, listen, we have a high priest now, but he's not earthly. We have a high priest that has passed into the heavens. Oh, by the way, he even says it here. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's Jesus the Lord that is our high priest. Now, to a Jew who would have heard this, and to a Jew perhaps that didn't have Christ as their Savior, those statements were sacrilegious. Those statements were, if you will, degrading to Judaism. But what we have to understand about our Lord, Jesus Christ, he was an amazing Savior, and he still is an amazing Savior. And when Jesus Christ came to this world, he didn't come to continue, hear me, he didn't come to continue the sacrificial system. He came to fulfill the Jewish sacrificial system. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." They say, "Preacher, why is that important? Now, why is that important that we understand that?" To the Jew, every year they had to offer sacrifice. But now, because of Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, no more sacrifices are needed. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. So the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand the empathy of our Savior, the empathy of our Counselor. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched. So in the context of empathy, Jesus Christ, he's very empathetic to his children. Just as those girls come off the bench and are they're on the field, they see her, what are we going to do? Well, they're not allowed to touch her, but we can. Oh, yeah, they can give her a single, but she deserves better. She hit a home run, so let's help her out. So that's what they did. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he empathizes with his children. He doesn't stand on the sidelines and feel sorry. Jesus absolutely identifies with you and I. And that's what's so wonderful about having him as my Savior. He's an amazing Counselor. You know, I love counseling. I do. I'm very passionate about that, even furthering my education in that realm and with personal goals in that area of my life. And I love counseling. I love Christian counseling. I love that. I love the study of the mind as far as psychologically. But the point is, Jesus Christ, as a great Counselor, as an empathetic Counselor, go to 1 Peter for a moment. Turn there, if you will. Hold your place in Hebrews, because we're going to come back to it here in a moment. Some of the greatest verses, I think, that really show us him as the empathetic Counselor are 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. Empathy is the ability to understand and share another person's experiences and emotions. It's the ability to understand that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, verse 21 of 1 Peter 2, because Christ also suffered for us. Amen, amen. Did you see that? And ladies and gentlemen, I pray to God that never becomes just kind of nonchalant. Look at the text. Christ also suffered for us. Let me personalize it. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. The spotless lamb, the sinless sacrifice, the virgin-born Son of God suffered for me. Look what else he says. But notice in verse 21, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Bible tells us, and Peter absolutely shouts to us, that Christ leaves us an example. What's the point? If you were to go to Philippians, and for time we won't, but if you were to go to the book of Philippians in chapter 2, you will find that the Bible declares that Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he became man, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, hear me, Jesus Christ identifies with sinful man. He's walked in our steps. Hebrews tells us, back in our passage in Hebrews, it tells us he was in all points tempted like as we are. But here's the difference. Yet without sin. To God be the glory. I mean, that is an overwhelming thought, to know that Jesus Christ did not sin, qualifying him to be our Savior. He's our empathetic Counselor. But notice a second thing. He's not an empathetic Counselor. He is an available Counselor. In way of empathetic, Jesus Christ, he knows what you're going through. Amen? He knows what we're feeling. I said to you, and I know this, I've seen it. Sometimes the holiday seasons, whether it be Thanksgiving, Christmas times, sometimes they're very, very difficult for people. Suicide often is at an alarming rate during the holiday seasons. Why is that? Because people are hurting. And people often don't know where to find the answers. They try to find it and drown their sorrows in a bottle. They try to find it and drown their sorrows by shooting up drugs. They try to drown their sorrows by running from this relationship to this relationship to this relationship. But on the authority of the Bible, the only true counsel and the only true fulfillment that you'll find is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. And having Him as your Savior. He's an empathetic counselor. You say, "Preacher, nobody understands." And I've had people say that. "Preacher, nobody understands what I'm going through." No, you're wrong on that, sir or ma'am. There is somebody that understands, and His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. That was a good place to say amen right there. It's Jesus Christ the Lord. Turn to Hebrews 4 once again. He's not only empathetic, He's available. He's an available Savior, a counselor. Look at verse 16. Paul, or whoever the writer is, I say Paul a lot, I don't know that for sure, I just think it may be. But anyway, regardless of this, we don't know who it is, but look what he writes in verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly." Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore," Bible class, very simple, very elementary. Come the word "wherefore," "therefore" in the Bible, it's flipped us back to what previously has been stated. What has been stated is, we have a great high priest that's at the right hand of God the Father. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ that was tempted just like you are and I am. But the difference between you and I and Christ is Jesus didn't sin one time when He was tempted. Now, because of that, because we have a great high priest, because we have Him as our Savior, because He is our Savior and Lord, He is our counselor, He's available. Look at verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now again, keep it in the Jewish mind's perspective. The Jews would have not, they can't believe what they've just listened to. You see, the law of God kept them out. The only one that could go into the holiest of holies, or the holy of holies, was the great high priest. The mercy seat representing the presence of Almighty God was there at that mercy seat. And right at that mercy seat where God dwelt, the only one who had access to it was the great high priest. Separated by a veil. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible declares to us that the veil of the temple was written twain from the top to the bottom. Very significant of that. So what does that tell us? Our high priest, we have a high priest, and we still need a high priest, but guess what? Our great high priest, he's in heaven. And now, here's what's awesome about this. Now think about this if you can for a moment. Just imagine, and if you will for a moment, the Jewish mind. The writer has just said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Wait a minute. The throne of grace is where God is. The throne of grace is where God is. I've never been able to go into His presence. But you know what? Here's what's amazing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and His blood applied to our lives. We now have access because of His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why you and I do not have to go through some earthly priest. And I know there's a lot of denominations. There are certain denominations that teach us that you have to come through confessional and have to come to some priest and confess your sins before some priest. And hopefully he'll work it out between you and God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need an earthly priest any longer. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Amen? So that's what else the writer tells us that. He said, "Let us," now notice something here. He's available. He's an available counselor. He said, "Let us therefore come boldly," boldly, confidently, "unto the throne of grace that we may obtain two things." I said this to church Wednesday night. A lot of times people say something like this. "Preacher, they'll ask me, Preacher, will you pray for me?" "Sure, I'll pray for you." Then I'll say, "Will you pray for me that God gives me patience?" "No, I will not pray that." You say, "Why won't you pray that?" "I will pray that if I do not like you." Okay? Because the Bible declares that tribulation worketh patience. So if you want a lot of trials in your life, I'll pray for patience in your life. Amen? But you don't want that. You don't want those heavy trials. They can be grievous. So notice what the writer tells us in Hebrews to do. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why, writer of Hebrews? That we may obtain mercy and find grace. So he's telling us, our counselor says, come to my throne for mercy and grace. The Christmas season can be very difficult. The Christmas season can be very hard, Some of you sitting in this room tonight, this is your first Christmas season without a certain loved one in your life. So it's a very difficult time. It's a very hurtful time. And you're doing the best you can, but you still miss your loved one. Here's my encouragement to you right from the Bible. Run to the counselor. Run to the counselor, Jesus Christ the Lord, and ask for grace and mercy. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. We deserve hell, we deserve judgment, we deserve, you know, eternal separation from God. But God didn't give us that. To God be the glory, amen? Aren't you grateful tonight that God gave you mercy? You didn't hear me. Aren't you thankful tonight that God gave you mercy in your life through Jesus Christ the Lord? He's our high priest that's at the right hand of God the Father. And the writer says, let us therefore come confidently, boldly, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve. And I tell you, friend, if you're anything like me and understand that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing, there's many a time that we come to God and we ask him for mercy in situations. And thankfully and gratefully, he gives that. So then he says we ask for mercy, but then he mentions the word grace. Grace is a phenomenal truth in God's Bible. Grace is just simply God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Hell, eternal separation, punishment. That's what we deserve. God, through mercy, doesn't give us that. Grace, on the other hand, God gives us. He gives us what we do not deserve. What does he give us that we do not deserve? Salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's a good one. Forgiveness. Wow. Unconditional love. To God be the glory. You say, preacher, what do you mean unconditional love? Here's what I mean by that. His love for you has no conditions. Meaning, his love for you and his love for me is not based on our performance. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ to know we come boldly into the throne of grace because he's our high priest that literally can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And because he is that, oh, by the way, he was tempted just like you and I are, yet without sin. So now, because of that, let us therefore, because of all of that, well, let's come to his throne boldly. Let us come boldly, confidently into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. God not giving us what we deserve. And find grace. God giving us what we do not deserve to help in time of need. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Does that bless anybody tonight? It thrills my heart, brothers and sisters, to know that he's that kind of counselor. He's an available counselor. Notice number three, letter C, please. He's a qualified counselor. Let me give you a couple verses for reference. The first verse is Psalm 33:11. I'll read it to you. You can write it down. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. But then the other verse under that qualified counselor, Isaiah 1 verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Listen to this verse. You may know this verse. Let me read it to you, and I hope God will use it in your life. Isaiah the prophet writing 800 years before Christ would come. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. He's a qualified counselor. You know what I've learned in life? You got to be careful who you get your counsel from. Can I get a witness in this building? You know what's great about my Lord? He's qualified in every area. He's qualified in every area. Whether it be marriage, he's qualified to counsel marriage. Whether it be as an individual struggles, he's qualified to counsel me as an individual. You know why? Because he was in all points tempted like I was, yet without sin. He's qualified to counsel me. Finances, he's qualified to counsel you in that. Here's his counsel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's God's counsel. Put Christ first in your marriage. Put Christ first in your finances. Put Christ first in your life as an individual, and you'll be surprised what God will do in your life. He's a qualified counselor. You say, yeah, but preacher, we live in a culture that a lot of people want to give advice. Well, hear me tonight. If I have marriage issues, I'm not going to run to the person that's been divorced 15 times and ask them their opinion. Amen? You say, preacher, why do you say that? Here's why I say that. Because I've seen firsthand, I honestly know firsthand of people, ladies in particular, when they've had marriage struggles, they go to the lady at work that's been divorced 4 times and get counsel from her. Really? That's like getting financial counsel from a bankrupt financial advisor. It just doesn't make sense. Right? We hitting, right? Absolutely. So, but the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. What's the point? Here's the point of it all. The point of the counsel of Christ, he's going to tell you and he's going to give you counsel that you may not want to hear, but brother, you need to hear. Why? Because that's the kind of God that he is. It never ceases to amaze me. It never ceases to amaze me, Brother Tommy. When people will come in my office for counsel, and you give them counsel, not because I'm an expert, but just because I've been at this for a little while, and you give them counsel, and they absolutely refuse to do what you say to do for them. You say, preacher, yeah, but that's just human nature. I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's like going to the doctor. And Brother Daniel's a pediatrician. It's like going to the doctor. You say, be careful, preacher, because sometimes you do that. I know I do. It's like going to the doctor and saying, hey, doc, I got this problem, and he gives you this medication. And you get home and you say, you know what? I'm not going to take this medication because that doctor's probably wrong. Why go to the doctor then? My wife's saying amen. My doctor loves supplements, and he always tries to supplement my diet. They asked me the other day what I had for lunch. I said, okay, you want to know what I had for lunch? 2 hot dogs with chili on it. They're like, ooh, that ain't good. They're like, what'd you have for dinner? I said, taco salad. They're like, well, okay. The only good thing about that was the venison burger in the taco salad. I'm like, salad. They're like, well, we need to get you here. Take this supplement, take this supplement, take that supplement. I'm like, well, don't know about that. See, something like exercise, I'm praying about it. I really, really am. Pray with me about that. I told the nurse lady there, I said, she goes, she asked me this. She said, this is funny to me. She says, what is your exercise routine? Yeah. That's exactly what I said. I said, really? She goes, yeah, what's your exercise routine? And I looked right at her. And I said, she starts to write this down, right? She's hinging on it, hanging on every word. I said, I do 1 setup a day. And she starts writing that down. I said, I get up in the morning, that's half. I lay down at night, that's the other half. And she put her pen down. She looked at me. She goes, you'd feel a lot better if you exercised. I'm like, I know, but I don't want to live forever. Amen. That's what I'm scared of. I start exercising, man, I'm liable to live forever. You say, preacher, you just absolutely ruined your qualified, capable counselor statement. I don't know. But anyway, so let's skip that one, all right? Go to Hebrews 7. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, and I love this one. He's a qualified counselor. But last of all, he's a reliable counselor. I said to you in the earlier part of this sermon, one of the definitions of counselor would be that of an attorney or someone who represents you in a court of law. God is a God of law. God is a God of law. He's absolutely a judge, and he's a righteous judge. He will not, listen, I don't care if it's your sin or my sin, there will be no sin that goes unpunished, period. Your sin, the greatness of God, my sin was punished in Christ, right? If you die lost without Jesus, you'll have to stand before God as a sinner without Jesus Christ as your advocate, as your counselor, as your attorney in God's courtroom. And the sad, tragic reality of that is, he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 25. There's so many great verses in this. Back in 22, verse 22 says, By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He's talking about the earthly priest and how they would serve in the office of that priest for so many years. Then they would die, and then another priest would come on, and you know, so that's what he's saying there, verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, speaking of Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Look at verse 25. Wherefore? There you are. Come the words, wherefore, therefore. He's told us what is early. He's hinged now. He's kind of hinged on what has already been stated. And for time, we don't have time to read all the verses. But what he's already stated about this priest and how Christ, you know, he's alive. Death didn't hold him. He's alive now. He's our priest. Verse 24, his priesthood. Verse 24 is an unchangeable priesthood. It doesn't change. He's forever our great high priest. Verse 25, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wow. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for their own sin, for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So much there in those verses. Turn to 1 John, and we'll be done in this passage of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. He is a reliable counselor. 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 8 of 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, now again, the context is John's writing to believers. He's writing to people that know Christ as their Savior. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, look at this. This is awesome. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How is he able to do that? Hebrews. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmities. We have a high priest. The great high priest has passed into the heavens. Oh, yeah, by the way, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's who our high priest is. Now John says, if we say we haven't sinned, we lie. We sin as God's people. We sin. But the good news is, if we confess it, verse 9, he's faithful, just, to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children. That's why we know he's writing this to save people. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. One of the purposes of John's letter was to prevent sin in the life of a believer. Because as a believer in Christ, we don't have to sin, but often we do. We don't have to do it because Christ has forgiven us. Verse 1, latter part. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Look at that. We have an advocate there. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the advocate, is our intercessor. He's our lawyer. Oh, by the way, a counselor was somebody who often could be an attorney representing you in a court of law. Jesus Christ, as our lawyer, he represents us in God's courtroom. And because he suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life for you. He died for your sin. He was buried for your sin. He rose again for your sin. And the moment you repented and called upon Christ to be your Savior, believing in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, God saved you. He cleansed you. He forgave you of all your sins. And based on that, little children, if you do sin, you have an advocate. Hallelujah, man. You have a lawyer. You have an attorney. You have a counselor. Verse 2, he is the propitiation. The word propitiation is, you can get the word mercy seat from that. That's a tremendous study. For time, we won't go that direction. But it's also, the word propitiation just simply means the satisfaction of God's broken law. Jesus Christ is a satisfaction of God's broken law. Question for you, who broke God's law? You did. I did. Jesus Christ satisfied that broken law. He's the propitiation, verse 2, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You say, preacher, why is that important? Why is it important that I understand that he's a reliable counselor? I'll tell you why. Why is it important to understand he's qualified? Why is it important to understand he's empathetic? Why is it important to understand he's available? Because you need him. You and I need him. You say, yeah, but pastor, I'm not depressed. I mean, I'm not going through discouragement right now. You may not be, but there may be a day in your life when you will. And I'm grateful tonight to know that he's not only wonderful, he's counselor. Wow. He's someone I can come to unashamedly. He's someone I can come to confidently, that I can come to and I can seek mercy from, I can seek grace from, but he's also somebody who Isaiah would say, his name shall be called Wonderful, but his name shall be called Counselor. He's the qualified counselor. You can get advice from him. You can't get advice from everybody. You're a fool if you get advice from everybody. Get advice from people that will tell you not what you need to hear. Or excuse me, not necessarily what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you need to hear. And that's what Jesus does. He tells us what we need to hear. He loves you too much to let you and I go off and live like we want with there be no consequence. He loves us too much to do that. So he's going to tell us what you need to hear. Stand with me, please, for invitation. Brother Stevens will come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart. We encourage you to respond. Maybe it's the matter of just coming forward at the altar, just praying and asking the Lord, talking to God about some things. Maybe you'd like to do that. Maybe you're here and you never trusted Christ. Sweet friend, please don't leave this building without repenting of your sin and calling upon Christ to be your Savior. Asking God to forgive you and by faith believing the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord. Will you do that? I trust and pray that you will. I hope you will. Maybe as a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe there's things in your life that you haven't talked to God about in a long time. Maybe tonight you'll do that. You come as we sing.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.